This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast with your host, Mac, and this is episode 154. Of the podcast, going over some cultural notes this week. Do one of these about once a month, and then there's another podcast about what I'm doing to study for the test, what's working, what's not working, studying for the JLPT. But this week it's talking about culture, and about a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weeks back, I had some free time to take my family to Baymax, which the U.S. title is Big Hero 6, basically Disney's new movie, new animated film. And it's a cute little movie about a boy named Hero who befriends his brother's robot and ultimately goes on to fight the bad guy and save the day with his trusty team of friends. Kind of in general, the plot is fairly standard. There's a lot of mixes and some great scenery. There's a few surprises here and there, but it's a pretty good movie overall. Nothing groundbreaking, but just a really fun movie to watch, and just really beautiful and really cool characters. But there's plenty of moments that I laughed out loud and had a genuinely good time. It was also the first time we took our 2-year-old to the movie theater. And she performed beautifully. No crying and breaking down in the middle of the movie. No fidgeting or yelling out. It was just great. And one thing that I noticed, though, was the mismatch of the titles. In Japan, and apparently in Germany, the movie is known as Baymax, which is the name of the robot, the big white squishy robot. But the U.S. title is Big Hero 6. Now, generally speaking, Hollywood movies usually don't have the same title in Japan as they do in the States. And sometimes it seems like they've put little to no thought into making them. Like, for example, Karate Kid in the States became Best Kid in Japan, which still kind of baffles me. I think they could have thought of something different. I don't understand why Karate Kid was bad for marketing. Maybe there's some hidden meaning there or something. But, and I thought it odd that they named the whole movie after the robot, when usually they would just make some more generic name like Big Robot and His Friend or something. In Big Hero 6, that describes the team of six people. So it kind of falls in line with a lot of the other titles. For example, Frozen in the States, here in Japan was Anna in the Snow Queen, I think is the correct translation. And Up, which is a Pixar movie, with the old man in the balloon house, that was changed to Uncle Carl's Flying House. So that kind of, Uncle Carl's Flying House, okay, you can imagine what the story's about. It. There's a flying house. There's this guy named Uncle Carl. It kind of fits. And even with Frozen, you can imagine, okay, there's this girl named Anna and there's a Snow Queen. Some kind of relationship happens between them. You can imagine what's going on there. But with Baymax, it's just the robot's name. So obviously, Disney had put a little bit more thought into this instead of just simply slapping a generic moniker on it and hoping it flies because, it's Disney and they're a huge movie studio and everyone knows that they make pretty good movies. And so I started to wonder why they would have different names when both seem to be pretty generic. I mean, after all, what is Big Hero 6? Unless you happen to read the Marvel comic of the same name, which is a very obscure comic, that that comic was actually set in the real world, and Baymax is a completely different character in that series. You know, you wouldn't really have any idea what it's about, Big Hero 6. So, and I mean, I didn't even know there was a comic until there's a post-credits scene, which is kind of a hallmark of pretty much every Marvel movie, and kind of gives it away that it was an actual cartoon. I didn't really, it was a Marvel comic at one time. And so, you know, it's kind of, both are kind of generic. So why would they have different names? Names don't change anything about the movie's content, obviously. They essentially just change the packaging, which you might not think is so important, but a change in packaging could persuade a few extra moviegoers, more moviegoers, more money. Essentially, movie title is used for marketing. You know, after all, you would never go to a movie titled Big Boring Bunch of Heroes. Or maybe you would, out of curiosity, who knows. But I kind of, you know, took a step back and did some looking at the marketing of the two the movies, the movie, not two different movies, the movie, how it was marketed in the two different markets, Japan and the States. And so for Big Hero 6, for movies in general, how they're marketed is through trailers. And those are those two-minute action-packed clip things they show before the movie you came to see. And they kind of tease you to come back at a later date to see another movie. And they show you the most enticing bits of the movie to get you hooked so you'll buy another ticket so you go back to the movie theater and see it. And I've got the Big Hero 6 trailer on the site. It's kind of hard to describe if you're only listening to the podcast, but basically it's a pretty standard Hollywood trailer. It really puts a lot of emphasis on the hero, named Hiro, H-I-R-O, like the Japanese name, and his robot and his helpful friends. Kind of presents you with your typical hero story. There's a good guy. They kind of, I think they quickly show the bad guy that they fight and the good guy wins. You know, presumably along the way, Hiro has to overcome some obstacles, and this is sprinkled with some comedic moments to keep the pace of the movie manageable. I mean, you can kind of all get that from the trailer. And, you know, it keeps up a good pace. It's your typical Hollywood flick is what it looks like. And you could almost say it's an animated version of a lot of Hollywood's most recent blockbusters that are essentially superheroes fighting some world-ending force, like Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy that came out. There's a whole lineup of them. I mean, in other words, Disney's other movies. And they happen to make a lot of money, those other movies. So I guess they have a pretty good formula going for them, and they just kind of, you know, just did it with an animated film. So it's very American, right? There's good guy, bad guy. Maybe there's sometimes the hero overcomes some obstacles, overcomes all the odds, saves the day. Maybe he falls in love on the way, or he builds some kind of friendship or something. It's your typical story. They make millions, and they will make millions for years to come. Standard Hollywood type movie. But if you look at the Baymax trailer, the Japanese Baymax trailer, again, I have it on the blog. But the Baymax, which is the title for Big Hero 6 in Japan, has a slightly different trailer. It still features some of the same clips, but there's a little difference in the focus of the main elements of the film. And there's a bit of a bigger focus on the relationship between Hiro and his big brother, Tadashi. And as a matter of fact, the Japanese trailer was the first to reveal that Tadashi is gone. I'm using quotes here to try to not give away a lot of the movie. And we see more of the relationship between Baymax and Hiro. And you know, just for good measure, the Japanese trailer adds Ai's story. Ai is a famous pop singer, and Story is a very popular famous pop song, which is kind of a classic tearjerker of a song played at weddings, including my own, across Japan. It's kind of like about friendship and always being there for each other, blah, blah, blah. And that song is in the Japanese trailer, but not in the American trailer. In the scene where Hiro equips his team with new outfits and gear is kind of reduced to this short blip. There's no dialogue in the trailer. And I think even it feels like even the volume on the first superhero anthem seems to be a little softer. There's a kind of a superhero song. I'm not sure how it goes, but at the beginning, and that's a little bit softer. It's kind of played down, and it's more like here's the characters, here's what the story's about. So I think the Baymax trailer tries to play up the human relationships of the movie and plays down a little bit the hero overcoming the bad guy side of the story. Obviously, it's still there. They can't hide it. That's, you know, the main plot element of the story. But it isn't what Disney chose to entice its moviegoers with. And so it's kind of really interesting way of seeing this the same film. And I think a lot of people, you know, go to the theater to escape reality. You know, yes, home theater equipment has advanced by leaps and bounds, but going to the theater still allows at least me to escape out of my humdrum house and just jump into another world. And that's why I think nothing will ever beat the movie-going experience, no matter how good and cheap TVs and speakers can get for your own house. You're probably always going to go to the theater because it just offers a different experience. And I think in the States, where cynicism has seen a strong revival, I think a lot of people want to escape to a place where people have superpowers and anything seems possible. They can just, you know, overcome all the hardships in their lives with their powers. And I think a lot of people in the States are either looking for a hero or want to be that hero in the spotlight. They want to overcome the bad guy. And that's kind of a cultural thing. We're kind of taught that either through movies or drama. I don't know where it comes from, but, you know, especially growing up in the States, you learn about famous people and you're taught about these really big figures and how they're important and how America did this and did that and we invented all this other stuff. And so maybe there's a little bit more of a hero worship in the States than there is in other countries. In contrast, in Japan, where relationships are more visible and sometimes strictly enforced, not always, it's not some rigid society that some people try to play it up as, but there are visible relationships that you have to adhere to. And I think a lot of people find escape in experiencing other people's relationships. They always want to really experience the drama of other people kind of relating with each other. And you can kind of wonder why this is. Maybe because, you know, in Japan, some people might guess that in Japan it's because people need to hide their feelings and keep it bottled up, that they want to go to the movies and see someone really show their feelings. There's all sorts of possible explanations you could probably come up with for this, but I think a lot of people want to see just human relationships in general. They don't have to be romantic relationships necessarily, although a lot of people do still like, you know, rom-coms, romantic movies in general. That still exists a little bit in Japan, despite the just worldwide decrease in those kinds of movies. Popularity of those kinds of movies, I should say. But, you know, one of my Japanese friends put it this way, that maybe people in the States go to the movies to see a hero, but people in Japan go to the movie theater to cry. they really want to cry. A lot of people have told me that, yeah, they go to the movie theater, they like crying and just kind of experiencing that and seeing, you know, this kind of heartwarming tales as opposed to the hero saves the day kind of stuff. And I think either out of, you know, sheer dumb luck or marketing genius, Disney managed to create a film that could be highly marketable in two big markets, Japan and America. As I mentioned earlier, Big Hero 6 is actually based on a Marvel comic with some very noticeable differences. It's more like it's inspired by a Marvel comic, not really based at all. And, you know, Disney basically made a whole new group that was inspired by that comic book, you know, and they even went so far as removing it from the Marvel world and putting them in this imaginary city of San Francisco, which is basically, the city is very beautiful, by the way, but it's a very interesting story because the city, San Francisco, is actually modeled after San Francisco. So the whole, all where all the buildings are and all that other stuff, that's accurate to San Francisco. Now, there was some exaggeration in place. I think they raised the hills. They made things a little bit more, you know, warped to make it a little bit more of a dramatic world. But for the most part, they said, you know, they mapped every single house in San Francisco. They recreated San Francisco in this computer and then stylized it in kind of a Tokyo, kind of really futuristic Tokyo type skin. Because most of the signage is in Japanese. Most of the kind of style is kind of a Japanese Western mix. And so it's really quite an amazing city. They have I have a link to a great article about it in this podcast that kind of describes how they made it and the whole process if you're interested, that type of stuff. And so what I heard was the reason why kind of Disney did this instead of basing it in Tokyo, which is where Big Hero 6 is, the comic book is actually, the Marvel comic is based in Tokyo. The reason why they kind of extracted it out is they didn't want to make it being set in Japan overpower the entire story and make it just like this is the Japanese story. And I think by doing that, they kind of made the city both American and Japanese in a way, which is really just really cool. Like they kind of brought it in just enough to make the story unique, but didn't really overpower it as like this is the Japanese story, like Lion King is the African story, and Mulan is the Chinese story. This is kind of, they brought it in just enough to, you know, spice it up, make it really interesting, but they didn't let it overpower the entire story. And it's very cool. Anyway, I really hope they start, this is kind of a start of a possible new world with some interesting new characters, and that they bring these people back, this Big Hero 6 team back, because they kind of just formed really kind of late in the movie, and maybe they'll bring them back for another movie and, you know, have another story to tell later on down the line, I hope. Anyway, what do you think of this difference? What do you think of the movie? Do you think it's a good combination of two cultures? Is it a bomb? Let me know in the comments for this episode. This is episode 154. You can leave me a comment on the blog. It's jlbtbootcamp.com. Or you can visit me on the blog and click on the Contact Me button there and ask me a question about JLPT or about Japanese culture in general. Or if you really love old-fashioned email, you can email me. It's mac@jlptbootcamp.com. You can get a hold of me any of those three ways. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. It's JLPTHelp. Twitter.com/JLPTHelp is where you can find me. Or, of course, friend me. Like my Facebook page for all the latest updates and tips and chatter about the JLPT. Get in contact with me any of those billions of different ways, and I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have a good couple of weeks studying, and talk to you soon. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.